Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, on YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as the NBA season tips off, well, last night, but it tips off for the Sixers tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'll tell you what, there was going to be a buzz. There really was going to be a buzz here in Philadelphia with a new team, with a team in Philadelphia that added Paul George with an expectation and hope with Paul George mixed with, obviously, what they have with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid and Nick Nurse at coach and a better bench. This could be something different. This could be something special. And maybe it can. But here we are, opening night. No Paul George. We knew about that. That was pretty obvious because of the hyperextension of his knee in a preseason game last week. But the one that maybe it shouldn't have caught you off guard, but it did catch a lot of us off guard, was Joel Embiid not playing and not going to play even for the first few games of the season. They'll reevaluate him, and we'll see about next week. And it opens up the whole can of worms we always deal with Joel Embiid, which is what's going on, why the organization isn't transparent, and how can anyone in their right mind put their heart and their guts and their soul into believing in Joel Embiid as a championship player. I don't know. I've been preaching this for years and years and years, and every time I do, the Joel Embiid, you know, fan network comes out and defends how great of a player he is, and no one denies that. Joel Embiid is a great basketball player. He's also an unreliable basketball player in so many moments. And the way I view this is there's three possible options that are what's going on here. And I'm not, don't give me the ramping back up thing when he played in the Olympics. Don't give it to me. He already ramped back up. He came back from his surgery on his meniscus was last February, either late January, early February is when he had surgery. You know, we're not that far off of a year from his surgery. So what are we ramping back up from, especially when he played very high-level competitive basketball since the surgery? He played in the postseason. Then, after a couple months off when they got knocked out by the Knicks, he played in the Olympics, probably the highest level, certainly the highest level he's ever played at. So he's played in two super intense, super high level environments since the surgery. So the idea that he's ramping back up, I asked for what? And the way I view this is there's only three possible scenarios, and none of them are good. They're varying degrees of make you want to throw up in your mouth to start this season. And one of them's got to be the truth, and the Sixers look bad, and Joel Embiid looks bad for presenting it the way they did yesterday. You know, 30-something hours before the opener, they tell their fans on a home game, on the home opener, that Joel Embiid's not going to play. Those tickets are expensive. They are expensive. And my guess is they've known for a long time. They've known for probably the better part of a week or two that he was not going to play the first game, maybe the first week. And you have to tell your fan base. You know, when in baseball, and I'll compare Embiid a little bit to pitchers in baseball that maybe get to a point in their career. Clayton Kershaw, for example, that might be the best comp for Embiid right now. A guy that had all-time ability, but as he aged, it just got harder and harder to post. And Kershaw's not even available in this postseason or the World Series. Pitched a little bit this year. It's really been choppy the last 3 or 4 years, even just getting him, you know, 15 or 20 starts. It's just he's a part-time player now because of his shoulder issues. At one point, he was the best pitcher on the planet, a lock Hall of Famer, one of the greats of all time. But his body just, you know, gave out. But the Dodgers are transparent, at least to the point of he's on the injured list. You know, they have a ramp-up program. They kind of give you a general timetable of when Clayton Kershaw might appear again. And then there could be, you know, he could go quicker than that in terms of the program. He could have setbacks, and they try to keep you up to date. The Sixers do this under the cloak, you know, of secrecy, where they're not telling us anything. And it's unbecoming of a franchise, especially one with this passion of a fan base. So here are the three potential things going on, theories, realities of Joel Embiid. And again, none of them are good. Number one, I think the most likely scenario is he's having long-term effects from the last surgery, which was a meniscus trim, not the full repair, because you want to come back to the playoffs. That's a meniscus trim. When you have a meniscus trim, arthritis is more likely. You know, your knee will not last as long in its current state when you start trimming meniscus. Got to ask John Rich, you got to say that. But it's one of those things where you do a full repair, you have a better chance of long-term health. You do a trim, it quicker to get back, which he obviously wanted to do for the postseason, and then maybe even the Olympics, if we're going down that rabbit hole, because he knew we had that coming up in the summer, rather than the full repair, which maybe would have given a better chance at long-term health. So I don't know what's going on, but I would guess he's experiencing complications because his knee screwed up. It's not so much hurt right now. It's a reality of the strength of his knee isn't where it needs to be. And this might be a reality for the rest of his career. You know, I always think, and I remember saying this and writing it for the WIP website when I used to write for the website before we did as many podcasts to go along with what we do on the air, that when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, there were a million theories out there. The Eagles, they tried to muddy the waters with their own theory of cheap backup quarterback to Carson Wentz. You don't draft a backup quarterback in the second round. You just don't do it. Now, some of the second round quarterbacks become backups, but you don't draft them with the idea they will never play, not in the second round. So the most obvious and likely explanation, the Occam's razor, if you will, was that they drafted Jalen Hurts as a hedge on Carson Wentz because they were worried he was going to go really backwards, and they were right. And it worked out very well for the Eagles. Now, we may be in the cycle for the Eagles quickly where they draft a quarterback this coming draft because they're afraid Jalen Hurts is going the wrong way. We may be there again. But that was the most simple and obvious answer. It was the correct answer. It wasn't cheap backup quarterback. It wasn't durability with Carson Wentz. It was they were afraid his play was no longer going to be near the top of the NFL, even middle of the pack. And for the salary they were paying him, that wasn't going to cut it at the most important position in the sport. So what's the most likely thing here? The most likely thing is Joel Embiid physically isn't ready because he has a knee issue that will cloud his career moving forward. He has chronic knee problems. He's a 7-foot man that weighs, and I know we lost some weight, but weighs a lot of weight, you know, in the upper 200s, and he has knee issues. You ever known anyone with knee issues? They don't get better as they get older, especially if that person carries a lot of weight on them. They get worse as they get older, worse and worse and worse. And adding to this is the Sixers just foolishly gave Joel Embiid a 3-year, $190-something million extension a few weeks ago. And now his first game post-extension, he can't play. It is remarkable. I think that is the most likely thing. It is such a hit for the franchise. It speaks poorly on Daryl Morey for giving him the contract, knowing his medical history. It speaks poorly on the Sixers not communicating with us. And it speaks to a team that is going to try to do this backwards, which is not playing their players, hoping and praying for continuity, getting in the playoffs because everyone makes the playoffs in the NBA, and just hoping Joel could grind through for 2.5 months in the spring. That's what they're reduced to now. Meanwhile, the Celtics, with youth and continuity and wings, you know, set an NBA record for threes last night as they begin their title defense, and they will win the NBA title. The Celtics are going to win it again, and they're going to have back-to-back championships. So I said last year the Sixers should have blown it up. It's the Celtics era now, and they didn't listen, and that's fine. They doubled down on the Embiid situation by signing a 34-year-old Paul George, who also missed a lot of games, what do you know? And here we are. So that's the most likely scenario. Scenario number two is this is a preemptive strike. He's feeling okay, not great, but not bad. It is a load management plan to get him ready for whatever they deem. Like when a pitcher starts a couple weeks late coming out of spring training because they were behind for whatever reason, and they, you know, make their first start on April 15th instead of March 28th. That seems like those who want to believe, you know, who want to say, look away from the carnage, maybe it's just this. That's fine. And maybe that's it. But two things strike me if that is the case. Why not be honest with the fans and say, okay, he's going to play 55 games this year. We've mapped it out. We have a plan. He will not play until, you know, whatever, November 5th. And then we have our plan, no back-to-backs, 55 games. And that is what we believe will be the best for him. And maybe that's very direct. Maybe they can be a little more vague. Like when teams say pitchers have a plan. Like next year with the Phillies, Andrew Painter, they'll have an innings plan for him. He will not throw 200 innings next year. He won't throw 150. He'll probably throw 100 innings. How they get there, we might not know. But we know going in, you kind of know there's a ceiling to this. The Sixers are like hinting at a ceiling, throwing out like soft hints with this no back-to-backs, but not telling us. And then if that's the plan, if that is, then, you know, there's ways to do it to appease people, paying customers, fans who are trying to get excited here. And one of those ways to do it is to play him in the opener. You know, if you're mapping out 55, why can't 55 include opening night at home against Doc Rivers and the Bucks? If there's, you know, I don't see why that would make a big noticeable difference to the plan. And I'm just throwing out 55. So it's hard for me to appreciate that. And then let's just go on the premise that choice number two here, is it? Okay. Tell the fans. Tell people. Don't spring it the day before when you know that's it. It's like the day before opening day, the Phillies were like, yeah, Zach Wheeler's going to be on the IL. We backed him up this year. A little less innings. Well, what? Why didn't you tell us all spring training? Why'd you pretend? And that's what the Sixers do. They pretend. They think everyone's stupid. And everyone, after all this time, has their ears to the ground on this. And their antennas up at all times because the Sixers are not trustworthy in any way, shape, or form. You know this and I know this. So that's choice number two. The third possible, you know, situation, possibility going on here with Joel Embiid is he re-injured himself during camp. Now, a lot of the reporters that cover this team on a day-to-day basis have said he's doing everything but scrimmaging. So he doesn't look to be hobbled. He hasn't done less the last couple of weeks from what I've read and I've seen. So I think this is probably the least likely. I just think his body can't do it anymore. And we're faced with that reality as the season starts, and it's a gut punch. But let's go into the premise he re-injured himself at some point. Number one, they're not being honest. Number two, I need to know when he re-injured himself because I have a bad feeling if this is it, if choice number three is it, that it happened during the Olympics. Because I don't believe he would have played in the Olympics or gone to the Olympics hurt. I think he would have backed out if he was hurt, if the ramp up, the practices, if he hurt himself. I think he probably would have sat there and not played. But he played. And at one point, he played pretty well. Other games, he wasn't needed. And one game, he didn't play well at all. But let's just go into the premise he re-injured himself or injured something, if not the knee. They had the surgery on last year, something. Tweaked something in the Olympics. And that kind of set him back in his training for the summer, which means he's behind a camp, which means he's behind the rest of his teammates right now. Then they can't cover that up. Because I know why they are. Because they don't want the whole city upset that he went to the Olympics when he can't get through a full season. And people will be. I will be annoyed. Because it was, when you think about it, about him, not about the team, not about the Sixers. You could say it was about the United States. And I appreciate the pride he has in being a United States citizen now after all these years of being here and making his life here with his wife and his family. That's awesome. But he put the Olympics over the Sixers coming off an injury and then re-injuring himself again. It needs to be out there if that's the truth. So in order. I think the most likely thing is he's having long-term effects from the trim and wear and tear for years and years. He can't post anymore. He can't play close to every game anymore. He's slow to recover. He's slow to get himself in shape. And we're looking at a player who's going to play about half the games this season when you take out the back-to-backs as you know, not even a possibility. I think the second most likely possibility, this is part of their load management plan, and they lied, and they didn't want to tell us so no one would get pissed off until the opener. And they're hoping they win tonight. Everyone just says, oh, okay, they won. Let's move on, which is not going to happen. And the third most likely situation is he re-injured himself. None are good. None speak well to the Sixers. None speak well to Embiid's future. None speak well on Daryl Morey. And the reality is this now. They enter a season where there's a juggernaut in the Eastern Conference. Everyone spent last year telling me the Celtics are not that. They are. They're the best team in the league. I believe they're going to win it again. The only chance the Sixers have is to have, number one, a high seed. Because I don't want to see the Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals because they'll just lose in the first or second round to them. Number two, they need home court advantage over a team like the Knicks. And I know the Knicks looked bad last night, but they'll get it together with that coach and all that talent in Brunson. We saw last year, they're tougher than the Sixers. We saw it. Now, they've lost some of that toughness, but with DiVincenzo, they're tougher. With Anunoby and Hart and Brunson, they're tougher. They need it over the Knicks. They won't get home court over the Celtics no matter what, but if they're going to win a championship, they need to be at least the second seed. And I don't see that happening with all this nonsense. And the third thing they need is continuity. I mean, how many games is Paul George, the trio of Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid going to play together? 40? 50? I think that's probably out of the realm of possibility. Is it 35? And we expect them to go into the playoffs and have everything buttoned up? They won't. And then we'll say, well, next year they will because they played 35 plus the 7 or 10 in the playoffs and, you know, boom. Now, next year, they're good. And next year, Joel Embiid's are a year older and worse, and Paul George is a year older and more brittle. So you find me the way this works. But yesterday was almost like the hammer coming down on your head again when you try to get into this team, you try to believe in this team, and the reality strikes you right across the face. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Please share, you know, leave a review and a rating on anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I appreciate it. Appreciate making this a small part of your day as I react to the biggest story every day. And we talk about it here on WIP Daily. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the game tonight. At least I know Tyrese Maxey will give a lot of effort and be out there. I'll enjoy watching him and some of these Sixers role players against the Bucks tonight. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.